something you guys all know.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you.
Blessed is the man.
Well, let's see. What? It's February 27th.
Did you start? Is that what you're saying?
February 27th, okay. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, which is not really the issue. But it is. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Yeah.
Got to be Old Testament.
But yeah,
huh? Old Testament, because they're talking about law.
Yeah. Well,
it's the word of God.
Psalms.
Yeah.
Well, the word that Jesus preached was the law put in an understandable thing. That's all. It's all. It has never changed.
Yeah, right.
It's not legalistic anymore. It's not the same approach, but it's the same words.
You know, you can call prosperity missing out on a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a kind of prosperity.
Yeah.
Yeah, the absence of hardship.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Mm-hmm. So anyway, good things are happening.
Yeah.
And I've had a number of things that have been just really strange. That scripture verse is one that I'm making all those copies of. Is one of the most profound verses of any of them that we've run into so far. Because it straightens out something. It says,
joy.
Greatest joy.
My greatest joy is to hear, no greater joy do I have than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Well, the concept of the church is that truth is not an issue. That what we need to do is get together and pray and worship the Lord and sing, you know, and we don't agree with each other, but the Lord doesn't care. Where do we find that? That's why we have some people that are not here right now that got upset at me. And I said, the Lord does care. Mm-hmm. If the Lord determined he wants truth. We can't change it. I had something happen. Maybe you've all heard about it, but I knew Mike Sabre really well. Mike and Marie, he was a Bible college teacher, and so I kept having him on my mind. He's a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart, and so I said, I'm going to give him. I'm going to send an extra copy of this thing to Steve and have Steve see if he can find him. And so, anyway, so Steve, you know, they got the package of stuff in the mail, and he knew about where Mike lived, but he hadn't seen him for 3 or 4 years. And they were just talking about standing out in the driveway, and in walks Mike and Maureen. So is that coincidental, or is the Lord behind all that?
Sounds like the Lord to me.
And today, I accidentally called Carol, and I was looking for somebody else. And I got a hold of her. I can't work this phone. And I said, "Well, I got you by accident." She says, "No, it was no accident." She says, "I wanted to tell you about something." And she had a birthday's coming up, and she had a birthday card 3 or 4 years ago that she got from Joanne. And she opened it up, and she was reading it. One of the verses they used was in John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, doing. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In there it said, set you free. But anyway, here she was. She was all excited. She said, that's the same verse that's in that, on the back side of that that picture. I thought, you know what? That's what we want. We want people to be aware of something like that. That's a major, major verse. If you continue in my word. Mm-hmm. You know, if you continue in it. But anyway, I'm just...
And I do, I have thought that among the things that continuing is listening to it on a daily basis for 20 years.
Yeah.
Continuing.
Well, when you see stuff like Psalms 1, blessed is the man or the one who meditates on it day and night. You know, how else do you do it? What better way do you do it? And if Smith Wigglesworth would have had a CD player, he'd have wore him out, you know. If I would have had one then, when I first got saved, I would have wore it out too. If I would have known, I could have done that. I read the Bible day and night. Every time I was awake, I read it. The next thing I know, things start happening. You know what's happening? Things are starting to happen right now. And the one thing that makes a difference, it's who gets the credit for it.
I was going to say, well, I know lots of people have been reading their Bibles for years.
Yeah.
Their Bible's not changing a lot.
But who gets credit?
God gets credit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, to hammer that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you can keep reading the Word, but if the Word doesn't change because the Holy Spirit's not giving you new revelation, and there are people who read their Bible because that's what they're supposed to do, or there are people who read their Bible and they're going to get through their entire Bible in the course of a year because there's a plan that does not give the Holy Spirit the freedom that you need to give it.
No, that's good.
And so, you can meditate on a day and night, but it doesn't become alive until God does it.
Otherwise, it's a test of self-discipline.
Otherwise, it's you doing something.
Sure.
And trying to take credit for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many times have you heard, excuse me, Christians say, I've read my Bible cover to cover at least 20 times.
Sure.
That's an accomplishment, supposedly.
It's something I've done that you haven't done.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, and the response is, in the right manner, and so, what has God done with that? I think the real thing that really excites me is when I hear someone say, I read this today, and I didn't see this before. I see this. God showed me this.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, it's new and it's fresh because God is doing something. Not because you went through the Bible cover to cover. It's because your heart is right and you're seeking truth. And He's honoring that.
I was reading the other morning in this tiny little set of like about 8 words of scripture just caught me, and it's, I think it'll catch you too if you really stop and think what it's saying. Well, it's verse 8 in 1 Thessalonians 4, but it says, therefore he who rejects this does not reject man but God. But here's the part that all of a sudden I went, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of, that's God. I mean Him.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. given us His Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Watch your answer.
I mean, it just, I don't know why, it just caught, profoundly mm-hmm. caught me, you know, because we say Spirit and be taught by the Holy Spirit. You know, we think and mention the Holy Spirit a lot, but it was when it said His Holy Spirit.
It's
yeah. I mean, sometimes I think I just take it lightly that I have a spirit in me, you know. And I'll, you know, we'll say that, yeah, a spirit's in us, you know. But I just caught kind of a lot more to it when I read it.
Uh-huh.
It was like the spirit just kind of lit it up.
Pablo, put you on the spot a little bit. Was there anything when you were down in Peru?
You know, the first time I went, I had this high hopes, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I did get to share a few things here and there with different people, you know, relatives and friends. And then this time, I didn't see, I have like three or four different sets of friends from different, you know. I was only interested in this, my really deeper friends or whatever. And there was a very little exchange of spirit conversation. Some. Very little. And I was somewhat disappointed about Kendi, but they all know, but even though I didn't say, there was no preaching, let's say, they know. They do know where I come from, and we all keep talking about how much change there has been in me, especially because I'm the same fun person and the same whatever. I'm a different, just different, and so what Kennedy was saying is, you know, the scripture is like I can't quote it. You know, the reason of the hope, the joy, the hope of joy in you, what is it, you guys?
Yeah.
Help me out, Keith.
I'm not sure what word it is myself. But
is it, and this hope we have?
No.
The reason for this hope that lies within us.
Be quick to be willing to testify as to where it came from.
No. It's, The reason of you, the joy in you.
The reason for this joy.
Yeah. Basically, this is a scripture that's basically in other terms is like, you know, they will want, okay, Corky, you can find it. Hope, joy, reason, those three words. Just go hope, joy, reason. Reason, hope, joy. Anyways, They are able to see, they can see that there's something. And then, not to get off the hook or whatever, but as I'm, you know, pondering, I'm like, you know, even Jesus's brothers did not react to Jesus for a while.
Right. Exactly. So that's what I was just—I wasn't thinking of that, but I was thinking time.
Right. Yeah. So see, here I'm expecting to say, "Believe in Jesus." Oh man, woo!
I
don't think it's quite like that. It can be.
You're not the one that choreographs this deal.
Right. Yeah. It can be. Do you find it?
Well, Acts 2:26. My heart was glad and my tongue full of joy. And I was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope.
No,
for this reason, my heart is glad, and my tongue extols.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one.
Then I, 1 Thessalonians.
That could be it.
It says, "After all, who is our hope, joy, or reason for rejoicing in the presence of our Lord?"
No.
And then Philippians 2:26 came up. For this reason, I am very eager to send him to him, so that in this way you will have the joy of seeing him again. Those are the three that popped up.
Ah, man. Well, anyways, and that was a little encouraging because, you know, I'm no saint, no nothing, but I know it's obvious for them what's going on, and I couldn't see this, but Kendi could see. It's like I wasn't paying attention, or I just didn't realize, but Kendi could see that my friends are very much paying attention to anything I'm saying or doing or my behavior. They are gladly amazed at what's happening in my life, spiritually or not. They're just in awe, almost. You know what I mean? I'm not kidding. I'm not even. And again, you know, if and my relatives too, you know, my relatives. And again, like I said, you know, Jesus' brothers took a while for them to get, you know, to get into the wagon or whatever. And so it's not, you know, it's not my responsibility. You know, it's my desire. You know, but it's God.
Very possibly the Lord uses that very thing when they say, Pablo doesn't force it down your throat. We want the whole visit. Yeah.
And they know. I mean, because
to say that that's...
But a couple of times it was, you know, the Bible said, about whatever. A few times. So they know, you know, that... God is
it's going on,
you know. I don't know what politics or what.
No, I agree. I mean, I've testified in the past. Before my mother and dad moved in with me, they used to, you know, they knew we went to the church, and that, you know, from their perspective, we were just way out there. We were going to church way too much, you know, But there'd be something going on in life, you know, someone was sick or someone was having an operation, and they'd say, well, and we'd say, well, we'll pray for you at church. And a few things happened, and all of a sudden my mom's going, Gorky, as soon as this church is praying for this, God hears them, you know. And then, to your point, but I never went over, you know, heavy-handed and fire and brimstone and, you know, preach them into... And given their heart or whatever, I just, you know, much more quiet confidence about this is my God and this is what my God does, you know. And then they're drawn to that instead of being forced. They observe and they go, you know that? I want to know more about that.
One thing you don't want to do, I think, is not to force them. Like, you must.
Well, I've learned this, and if you don't do this, you're going to hell. You know, those kind of phrases like, you don't understand, you're going to go to hell. And you're going to, And that's what I think we kind of talked about works.
Yeah.
And works can get in trouble if you're not being led.
Is this maybe the scripture you're looking for? It's in 1 Peter
3:15.
It says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts."
That's it.
Huh?
Yes.
And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and with meekness and fear.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
That was
okay.
It.
Yeah.
You know, I know they see hope and joy and a faith. I know that they see in me something that they don't see in every other person. Not because of Pablo.
You know what?
I mean,
God makes it. What's the word I want? He makes it. Makes him aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He makes him aware. You don't have to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. Right. Right.
And, I think that's true.
Yeah.
And I mean, my plan is to go every once a year to Chile, you know. So there's plenty of opportunities, you know what I mean. And,
could you do it when we're not going to get a lot of snow? And we're hoping that's not the reason.
Yeah.
I tell you, February is a fine month as far as I'm concerned to go to Chile.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was still working. I remember the guy loaded next to John. John Lang. I don't know if we're sitting around at somebody's retirement party or something, you know, or whatever. And he goes, "And what is it?" He says, "What is it with you?" you bang your head or you hit your finger and you never swear.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then years went by, and I think it was after I retired, he calls me up, and I think he probably was drinking maybe, but, and he goes, it was something like, well, who's this God anyway? And you know, he's it's something had been working on him, and I tried to, you know, I just real calmly just said some things. I didn't push or nothing like that. And he always even when I was working, he always would text me or call me on Veterans Day and say thank you, you know. So, but he still calls every once in a while. You know, he gets a deer or something. He lets me know or something. But I was just sitting here thinking when I was listening to that, and I thought, you know, maybe I ought to just kind of ring the bell one more time about spiritual things, you know, because things have changed so much for me since then. You know, I mean, I think I was listening before I retired, but it was probably only 3, 4, 5 years, and hadn't gotten really, you know. I mean,
you're still in the process of being converted.
Yeah, right. Still after 20 years,
No, that's not what I meant. I think
working on you to talk to him. He's working on him for you to talk to.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, God's right, doing a lot.
Right.
But I know he was struggling, and he was looking for an answer, but it wasn't time yet. He just couldn't grasp it and hang on to it. You know, he couldn't make a commitment.
Really. Yeah. Well, that's a big step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a testimony that he knew who to reach out to.
Yeah. He had turmoil, you know, in their life. Yeah. And the kids and different stuff. And yeah.
I recently ran across the idea that, you know, people are interested in God and have real questions, be happy to talk about it. They're a little leery of going to some kind of evangelical Christian that they think is going to pound it down their throat, you know, and tell them. But they're happy to talk about God. They're interested in that. You know, have questions about it. So,
and that's how we get in trouble. Someone calls and says, I need an answer. You don't have one, you tell them what you think.
It's kind of interesting. I've been, you know, watching different shows where they're like, FBI and just stuff, you know, where they're dealing with soldiers and back and forth Afghanistan stuff and whatever, you know, and all the Muslims. And isn't it funny how they can discuss God and everything all they want? Nobody's offended, supposedly. I mean, not anybody that's in the news or anything like that. But if you had a show where you're talking about Jesus that much, they'd have a fit.
You know, it's the time that is written that it's supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these things, and I've said this so many times, but even though it goes against the nature of God, you gotta let him be. You can't fight him, but you can't change him. It's, you know what I mean?
And you know, I can tell I'm God's been kind of transforming me to the point where I think I could have a nice, calm conversation with a Muslim. You know? Because I would just ask some different questions and just not push anything, but, you know, I was thinking, my God doesn't want me to take over another country. Now they'll say, well, what do you mean? The United States, and it's Christian. And then you'd have to say, yeah, but that's not really the gospel. You know, the true gospel is peace. You know, and they say, I mean, I was just watching a show the other night, and every time they would meet each other, it was God, peace be with you. Peace be with you from God, or God, peace be with you. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Peace be with you, except you don't want anybody else to have peace. You know, but anyway, you know, and just ask, you know, it's like, do you think that's always the same God as the God of Israel? I'm sure they're going to say no. Well, then there's a conflict, because there's only one true God.
Right.
You know, I never read, the Muslims have the Quran, correct?
Right.
I never read it, and I have, I don't even have a close idea. But I believe, and I could be wrong, see, just like we have the Bible, we all have the same Bible, but we cannot disguise, let's just talk about the Catholics just for kicks. The Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And they are into this way off
thing,
way out there, and they have a Bible under their arm, right here.
Mm-hmm.
But they're way over there.
That's interesting.
You know, so the Muslims, see, the, what we hear about the Muslims is like they could be the Catholics of the
And yeah, actually, they got all different areas, just like we do.
Right.
So reading the same book.
Right. So they could be way out. And I'm not saying the Quran is what we need to start reading, by no means.
No.
But the Quran, it's like a book about the Bible, basically. Basically. I could be wrong. You know, it's just, and they're way out there. You know, so, anyway, I'm not trying to defend Muslim or anything like that, but they're just another, they're not more blind led by the blind, you know.
Well, and every religion, if you look at it, all of them, other than true Christianity, is works. It's, pray this often, you do this, you know, you meditate on your, in your own mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's all do good, give. You know, everything is based on works. Nothing is, they don't know mercy and grace,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they don't know spirit. That's the interesting part.
That leaves too much out of your control.
Yeah.
No.
They don't like that. No.
That's not a winning proposition.
Jesus said in John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. And because the word abide is in the King James, I don't think we're getting a real good picture of it. I don't know what it says in some of the translations. But, you know, I've been thinking about that, and I think, you know what I think it means? If you are alive in me, and my word is alive in you,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Right.
John, what, 17:7?
15:7.
Oh,
15:7. Yeah, very well. Very much so.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it, you know what I'm saying?
I think
you live in, or if I would live in,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit different than if it's alive in me.
But it doesn't get away from it.
So if it's alive in us, does God see that?
Yeah.
He knows the very intents of the heart. Does he see if that word's alive in us?
Mm.
If that's what we want, if we desire his word, he sees that. And so what does he do? He honors that in us. I mean, as long as we don't want to take all the credit for it or ourselves or whatever, he honors it. So if that word in us will, it kind of
got a quickening force of some sort.
Yeah, it transcends. Is that the right word? It goes beyond us, even though we're not aware that it does. Without saying anything, if the word is in you and it is alive, it is going to be felt and experienced by others that are around you.
Yeah.
Did I say it right that time?
I think so. I think abide conveys the idea of setting up long-term residence too.
Yeah.
It's not a flash, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Abiding is there for months, years, you know, just... Mm.
Long-term
residence.
The other translations use the word remain. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's the NIV.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at that. Most of them are, but if you remain, then if you abide. So if you remain or you abide.
I,
You know, remain, you're missing out on that idea of being alive, though. And I think that surely is an element of it.
I've never seen that, but I'm saying that the word alive fits really good in there. You know what I'm saying? If you are alive in me.
God's words translation says, if you live in me and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want and it will be yours.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's getting
closer to the point that you were trying to make.
Yeah.
I felt that one day and I thought, you know what, that's really what it's saying. If you are alive in Christ. Remember he told the Matthew 7 people, he said, I never knew you. They were not alive in him.
Yeah, right.
He was alive in them.
Uh-huh.
I kind of, you know, though, when I sit, me thinking about it, I like the abide.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. If you abide in me, just seems to make it a little more personal and closeness, you know. I don't know, just for me.
Well, I like it too, and maybe that's getting at
abide,
it.
You know.
Set up housekeeping.
I mean, I want to be alive in Christ too. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, I think there's almost a double there in a way, you know.
But either way,
yeah,
I know it has to mean to be alive in Christ and have His Word alive in us. It has to work, but it has to be there.
The definition is accept or act in accordance with.
In accordance with what?
It's,
oh, to accept or act in accordance with.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Abide.
Yeah, abide. Okay. Yeah. Abide. To accept or act in accordance with. So you accept and act,
but
act in accordance with God's word.
That
abide in me.
God's word is having a different impact and a different effect in us and to us, by us, from us. Mm. I can feel it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something's happening.
The whole Bible is different than it used to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. On many levels, right?
Yes.
And you know what? See, the Bible says in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. My argument is. My heart.
You think they slipped in something in the Bible that wasn't true? What do you mean?
If that's the case, then what is this thing that God has given us? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What is this gift that God has allowed us access to? What is this thing? By through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And so God, without faith it is impossible to please God. And so faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But you know what? It doesn't come by hearing the corruptible word. It can only come through hearing the incorruptible. You hear the corruptible word. I've heard the corruptible word for years. I can't say it built faith. All it did is build argument.
Yeah.
You know, I thought my understanding of abide was live in. I said, like,
that's what it means, actually. It's like you're living in, you're taking up residence in a house.
Right.
You know, the word's taking up residence in you.
I think Ken's got a point, though, when he says, I like the word abide because it suggests a nice belonging,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
The fit is just right, and there's a real, maybe companionable, is not maybe a strong enough word,
mm-hmm.
Close intimacy or
yeah.
A lively intimacy or whatever.
But then you have to remember that there's another part to the verse. And my word also abides in you.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's what will really make the
right
kind of consummation.
Mm-hmm. What Keith says, you know, it's very, very true, very good. You know, they're very acceptable. But yeah, so Ken, where do you live? I live in God's word. You know what I mean? That's where God is getting at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like where do you belong? I belong in God's word. That's
right. I apologize.
In fact, it says someplace that you gotta be citizens of. Isn't there? Your citizenship
is in heaven.
So that's where we.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Know.
I apologize because there is another point to abide, which would have made things a little clearer. A feeling or memory continue without fading or being lost. Live, / dwell. Mm-hmm. It's another way of looking at abide.
Yeah, I think that first definition was you're abiding by the law, which are abiding by the custom.
I would abide by the decision.
Yeah, right.
The second one is be unable to tolerate someone or something. If there's one thing I cannot abide is a lack of discipline. But the third one is, continue without fading or being lost.
Yeah.
Which I think is more to the way it's being used here. You know, live, dwell, which is exactly what you want. I want to dwell in God's word.
And not that this is I'm a good judge of this or anything, but I have begun to feel God's pleasure with what we're doing. I can feel the pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what he wants. And it's not that we are not the exception, so
no.
But what we are doing is what he wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. And what's the confirmation of that? That you keep getting new revelation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. you have to stop and think about the little things like that. That what does it mean to be getting? Well, it means God's having favor.
Right.
You know,
to this man will I look?
Yeah.
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 The one who trembles at my word. Mm-hmm. Is that what's happening to us? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it scares the daylights out of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're not, then it's kind of like dead. Right, and then it moves from being a living document to just letters, and then you start. Well, not enough's happening here, so I think I better, spice the story.
But faith comes by hearing the word. But in that Hebrews 11, where it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God," it says, "But he that would come to God must believe that he is." Somebody got to make you believe that he is.
Yeah.
He's a rewarder of those.
Somebody got to cause that.
Right.
What causes it? Faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what I mean? And I'm sitting here and saying some of the stuff I've said, the feeling of, God's having pleasure and having favor and then it's like, yeah. And then I'm still this stupid, uncommitted in a lot of ways,
You're doing better all the time.
Oh, I know. It's like I have a fear of the Lord, but it probably isn't as big a fear yet that should be there, For the sake of people listening, for sure I know I'm not completely saintly yet, But it's good because when you know that you're not worthy and God still does, then you get convicted to want to be worthy.
Yeah.
Not by works or not by your own flesh or anything. You want to get to the place. It's kind of, lately it's like, Jesus, I need you to help me either turn this temptation away or get more, whatever. I need him. He's got to do it in me because I can't. I mean, we've been saying that, but it just, every so often that just keeps hitting you because you can't do it,
We keep saying it, but if the situation doesn't change, then we ought to be keeping saying it.
Yeah, right.
Well, on the one hand, if we're not affecting the change,
right.
we need help to affect the change.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, and I know I want the change, and I know I'm not able to make it happen.
Confession of it is good. It gets back to elevating God, Jesus Christ, elevating God, diminishing self. I'm a sinner, need God. Paul said
he said Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. You know what, I have been ready to argue with him over that. I think maybe I am. You know what I mean? I have felt that sometimes. God came to save us.
Right.
Jesus came to save us. And but the thing that he wants, and this is the thing that has really become obvious from the scriptures, he wants a relationship, an ongoing relationship with us individually. Jesus himself. As the Father has life in himself, God has given him to have life in himself. He wants an ongoing relationship with us. Somehow.
Pablo, when I think it was when you were gone, were you there when Susan got up and gave a kind of a prophetic word?
About?
What she said was she had, it was like a picture of God. And I got the idea that he would take the roof off a church.
Okay, no, I did. I wasn't here. No.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, it was good.
He said
he would look in there.
Boxes.
Yeah, it was like a box.
He didn't
like
take the church the roof off, did he?
A little more of a.
Well, anyway, he would. You know,
he was trying to get
in the spirit. Right. He would take the roof off and look in there, and what he was trying to find his people. The ones that were, you know, had a heart for him, and it was really doing a search, a close search in there, you know, and then he'd move on to the next one and be really trying hard, you know.
Sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. I somehow or other it affected me that the image of the Lord doing that and the great pleasure that he. Would take when he found the one that, yes, their heart was really for him or seeking him in a real kind of way or something, you know, rather than going through the motions or whatever, you know. It was good. Yeah. And then there was something more that she added, and right now I don't... Do you remember, Corky? I think it was the notion, yes, what you were doing is... good, and I'm pleased with it, but don't stop, because there's a whole lot more.
Yeah, that was an acknowledgement that basically we're on the right track.
Yeah,
but continue. Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot more ahead. Don't
actually strong like encouragement done. To just keep going. Don't stop.
Kind of don't settle.
Yeah, kind of
don't. They won't reach a plateau.
We have not arrived in any way, shape, or form.
That will create a denomination. You know what I mean? Huh? That will create a church then when you reach.
Yep. When you reach, and then you.
Then you Lutheran or baptism. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You never went on from the one thing he gave you.
Yeah.
You settled for that.
Yeah. You know, while I was gone, and I saw this one guy. And his name, anyways, on Facebook, he's a youth pastor. He's made me so angry. He's quoting John Piper. John Piper must be a preacher of some sort, a famous preacher or whatever. And quotation, he says, "Sin is what we do when we are not satisfied in Christ." John Piper. And I'm like, what the heck? So I answer him. I said. So remember, he says, sin is what we do when we are not satisfied in Christ. John Piper. So I told him, I said, I must not be satisfied in Christ daily. Thank God for his son who came to save me from my sins. Paul admits to being the chief of sinners. You know, I'll stick with the Bible. And then we are so far apart that he said, He said, Paul is referring to his former life, not his current life in Christ, and so forth. And so, so far apart, removed from whatever. I did not even answer because it wouldn't have made no.
You know, there's a word that conveys the idea of things that have happened in the past. He would say, "I was the chiefest."
Right.
You know, right. He has a way of being able to say that. Right. If that's what.
But grammar is not an issue in with this guy or
right.
English.
It's well, just, I can't see that.
If you just don't see it, there's just nothing.
And he's saying it.
Yeah.
While he's out preaching.
Right.
This is what he's preaching.
Right.
So well, that just feeds today's narrative that there is no sin in today's church.
Right. It's a hypocrite.
Nobody has demons.
No.
Nobody has a problem. They go to church. You're Christ, they smile.
You're good.
Right. They once saved, always. And that just feeds that narrative.
Yeah.
So, you don't repent.
No.
You're a completed work. You're just waiting.
Right.
You know, and that is a deception.
Yeah.
That is the great deception.
It is. But now, and then he's got all these guys believing in him. You know, all these guys, whatever. And imagine all these guys getting together, how are you going to, I haven't sinned in 30 years. I haven't sinned in 30 years. No, I don't want to sleep with your wife. No, I don't want to take your car. I was just a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
Baloney. You know, I mean, hypocrite.
Well, it is interesting. You were done, right?
I'm done.
It is interesting that quote, that comment by Paul, I'm the chief sinner. And you go, okay, it's the same guy that says, I'm really way ahead of all of you. I've suffered more. I've prayed more.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, put those two thoughts from the same man together. He says, I'm out there leading the pack on humanity in terms of all that I've endured, all I have gone through, all that I've done. And he comes back with, and I am the chief sinner.
Right.
Now, one or two things. I mean, or maybe both, but maybe too much is given, much is expected.
Right.
And he sees that he's falling short.
Right.
Or he recognizes that, he's just not gotten there in spite of.
It is a healthy attitude to have. I am the chiefest of sin. You know, in a way.
It is.
Right.
It's a good.
Yeah.
It's a good approach.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be totally true.
Well,
right.
It might be a sin of exaggeration, but it's the right kind. You don't want to miss it the way the Pharisees did.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so grateful I'm not like this man.
Right.
You are in so much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
There's another scripture in John someplace. It says, in the book of John, he who says that he's not sinning, he's not a sinner, sometimes
deceives himself.
So this is a complete opposite. Sin is what we do when we are not satisfied in Christ. But if you without Christ, I mean, that's how we know that we need Christ, because we know we're sinners. Okay. When you know you're not a sinner. When or why do you need Christ? Why would you need Christ?
There's only one man that ever lived that could say, can you find anything wrong with me?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't know what he was talking about.
And he was wise enough not to ask the Father that question.
Is there a place that actually says that Jesus was flawed and committed no sin?
Yeah.
I mean, where is it? How is it?
Maybe Hebrews or?
I knew
that. It's not in the Gospels.
I know. I know that.
It's not in the Gospels. It is.
Who knew no sin?
Yeah.
But he implies to them that he hasn't sinned. Because when they're
who can convict me of sin?
That's in the gospel. That's when he's being brought before him.
Right.
trial.
Right.
Yeah.
You had mentioned Hebrews 11, so I kind of went there. And I was noticing Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Yeah.
It's pretty, you know, it's like
pretty steep grade.
Well, and it's not a lot of gray there.
No
right?
gray.
It's just like without faith,
I kinda
it is
get
impossible.
It, yeah. I kind of get it.
Well, I'm not,
faith is an essential element.
Yeah.
Well, it's every, yeah. I mean, it's the whole basis,
you know, it's
for
not, yeah, right. It's the
that's the one thing that he set up that just is going to make you stand apart, because it's not by what you see, it's not by your humanness or your mind or your intellect. It's nothing. It's faith, believing that He is, and then you go from there.
And how does that happen?
And He has to give it to you.
And how does He give it to you?
It's by hearing.
Oh, yeah, by hearing.
Not by the Word of God.
By the Word. You know what has happened to every one of us? We have gained an acceptance or a belief in God 1,000 times what we had to start with. And we're still so weak and beggarly that it's pathetic. But we have come a long, long ways, and Ken and I used to argue about this a little bit. You know, I said, we haven't gone anywhere yet. You know what? We still haven't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we're 1,000 times further than we were. Because it's endless. The road, the way to God is, it's an endless thing.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, that kind of explains Paul's comment, I'm the chief sinner. In a way, because it sort of sets up, the more you know, the more you realize you fall short.
And I tell you,
the more you realize you don't know. It's like, how much more do we know? And then we go, you know, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. It's kind of like, it's always expanding in the wrong direction from the natural. You think, like, the more times...
Yeah, I'll give you a little something to look forward to. I really want to pray when we're done, because I've been feeling this faith coming, and there's somebody I want to pray for, and I just feel like God's gonna do something. But I'll just leave it at that. So.
Okay. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. The benefits of being in the flesh here.
Yeah. on the one hand, I suppose you could see it as kind of discouraging that we're only just a fraction, a very small fraction of the way to Him. On the other hand, hey, I like that.
At least we're on the way.
Well, we're on the way, and I like the fact that there is such an infinite distance that we can look forward to be going. You know, we can go so far from where we are right now. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but the important part is to have the faith to believe that you're going to get there.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You know.
That's right. Yeah, it's not a gimme.
And sometimes I believe that, have the faith. Other times I don't. But the thing is, I keep seeing it in His Word, and it says it can happen. It can happen to whosoever.
Faith defeats hopelessness.
Yeah.
If you have faith, you are not hopeless.
Right.
That's right.
And to your point, the fact that you recognize that it's a long journey, doesn't matter if you've got faith. Because with faith, you've got the hope. And the promise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's, something sparked in me tonight from what you had shared with me when I ran into you today out there on the street blowing snow. You were talking about what was going on in politics and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting here and I was thinking, you know what? I think we're going to get to know what trial and tribulation is for the faith. Because if a whole one side of what's out there gets control, you're going to be tested in your faith, because you're going to be looked down on. If you say anything, it's going to be held against you. You know, if you just speak the truth of the Word of God. Not that you go out, but if you're asked and then you answer honestly, I just think things like that are coming. Now I can't say for sure, but I think that's kind of what God's... I just think He's bringing things to where His people are going to get, let's say, purified in the fire, which is a good thing. I mean, it is a great thing.
Yes, it is a good thing.
It's reasonable to expect there's going to be a testing.
Yep.
Well, see, the first step for that is already happening, just like you were saying when we got together. It's like, nothing is offensive unless it's from God.
Right.
So that's already ruined. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's already in the works. You know.
Wait till you present Jesus Christ as a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's in the church. For the church. More
yeah.
Than but, you know.
Yeah, well, we're probably going to get it from both, everybody, because the world, you know, he's going to say, well, you can't be like that, or if you are, you're a, what do they call, far right, or you're a,
it's
or no, not a hippie, you're a, what do they call it when you're a, kind
fanatic
of,
fanatic, or
a cult?
Not a cult or a fanatic, but you're the opposite of being politically correct. You know, you're...
There's a lot of terms for that.
I know. I can't bring
all.
Yeah, I can't bring what they call... I can't think of it now, so just go on.
Opposite of politically correct.
Well, yeah.
The opposite of politically correct is politically incorrect.
Yeah, us incorrect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're... There's a label
that's
been
assigned.
I can't think of what it is right now. But anyway, so, yeah. And that's what will happen. You'll get labeled as a...
Beyond ignorant.
It's the ones that they use for the ones that are far right and...
Fanatics.
Yeah, but it's not just fanatical. It's something...
Yeah, you can be... You can be politically correct without being fanatical. And you can be a fanatical without being politically correct.
Anyway, just go on.
But I think, to your bigger point, it would make perfect sense for God's plan to require us all to be tested.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
In a country that's never, for a long time, hasn't been tested. In its Christianity. Not like in a lot of other places.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know.
I mean.
So, I'm curious. How long are you going to hold back here? Mr. Siever?
Regarding what?
Yeah, we're doing the
work. Well, you said you couldn't wait till tonight because...
Oh, I just wanted to... Well, I didn't know if that one had to be on the tape. That's all.
Oh, okay.
That's all. I want to talk about my situation, my personal situation, not necessarily it's a spiritual situation.
Okay.
I didn't mean to mislead or get your hopes up in the wrong way.
Now we got everybody going to mind.
Yeah, you got to get the phone calls.
You just got to be humble about it and just forget about it.
If God blesses, we'll probably talk about it.
Yeah. Well, leave your phone number in the tape so if you want to call, you'll find out.
Yeah, if you really, really, really can't let it go, try to get a hold of Courtney.
A Courtney Siever.
And if he wants to, he'll divulge. If he doesn't, well.
How does guys have a Bible study?
It's actually been a good Bible study, I think.
Yes.
All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm.
If the righteous shall be saved, where does the sinner and the ungodly appear? But you know what the good thing in the scriptures is? In heaven, in the book of Revelation, there was a number that was in there so large that no man could count them.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've read that lately, and I go, you know, and it's like when his seed will be like the sands of, how could there be more people than there are grains of sand mm-hmm. on this earth? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Yes, yeah.
A lot of people.
Yep. You know, on one hand,
I'm sure it's a metaphor. Okay.
Yeah. Well, conveys the idea.
Yeah.
Don't get literal on that.
Yeah, right.
But to the point, though, you know, we say, you know, it feels like this is, you know, God's going to do something right away. Well, according to Scripture, there's got to be some persecution that's going to start. And that hasn't started yet. Now, it could be right around the corner.
Right.
But to the point, you know, we're saying, hey, you know, Scripture says there's going to be
a year or two.
It could happen really quick.
Well, and it's interesting. Yeah, but you got to expect that's going to happen.
You know, I don't know, but persecution, sometimes I perceive it as in, like, this scary thing, ooh, you know, but, you know, Jesus was persecuted day and night, and basically, it's the bullets are going to bounce, you know what I mean, of persecution. You know, if you're a Christian, if you are who Jesus wants you to be, I don't think you're going to be put down by persecution.
I didn't say you would be defeated.
No, I know. You did not say that.
But you will suffer. And you're bringing up a great point.
Yeah.
And why did the bullets bounce off of Jesus? Because he had faith.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit walked with him.
Right.
And if we're in that position where we have faith,
yeah,
that God will meet our needs,
right,
we have nothing to fear.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
But the enemy will still try.
Right. Yeah, but I would feel, in the past, I would think of persecution as this scary thing. But it's not as scary.
And that's a great revelation.
Right.
Because before, this was troublesome.
Right.
Now, it's not so troublesome because you're walking with God. Yeah. And then we apply that to everything else, like, okay, so should we witness or shouldn't we witness, or are we responsible for converting that Muslim? And God has shown us we're not in charge of that. Mm-hmm. We're just in charge of presenting truth, whether they accept it or not. That's above our pay grade, and that has set me free. In so many ways, it's like before someone could come back and you could suffer tremendous condemnation because you didn't sway someone. You know, you weren't an effective Christian. You didn't know your scriptures well enough. You failed, and then this enemy just pounds you,
right,
and you go, no. I'm required to do this. I've done that. God decided that this wasn't the time. Okay. It was God's hands, not my hands. And what helps me with that is I keep reminding myself, I'm just really, 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 and he's really, really that. Right. And I'm not going to worry.
No.
I'm not going to try and take on what God's responsible for. And that has just made things so...
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't let me off the hook because I'm to seek him from now until the end of my days, because I don't know anything. Air quotes for those listening. I don't know anything, but I know there's so much more to know. No. But I do know and have a better understanding of what I'm responsible for and what I'm supposed to leave in my Father's hands. And most Christians don't have that as clear as they need to have it.
I got what we can say.
A what?
I don't know anything but what God gives me.
Right. Well, amen.
Yeah. 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 So that we don't just look like a bunch of nothings. Which would make sense. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. About this persecution, you know, that we are going to suffer persecution, but when Jesus was persecuted, 100% like 100% of the things that he was accused for were not true.
Yeah, false.
Then nobody ever said, he's going to save us from our sins. You know what I mean? It was like a glutton and a wine bearer, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. No, he wasn't a glutton and a wine bearer. He was with them, but he wasn't one of them. He wasn't a prostitute. He wasn't, you know what I mean? And he said that he's going to tear down the temple and build it up. All these accusations were not true. So when we are persecuted, when we get persecuted, it's going to be false accusations. And because that's going to be it's a relief of some sort, because we're going to know it's not true. You know what I mean? We're going to be persecuted for false things that we did. So we're going to have peace because we know that's not true.
In connection with the persecution, I love the scripture where it says they won't harm a hair on your head. Mm-hmm. And then a little later it says, they may kill you. But it won't harm a hair on your head.
You'll take you out without affecting your hair at all.
Right.
Well, and I think it shows, you know, different people are going to be called different aspects of that.
Yeah.
Some are going to give their lives, some aren't. Mm-hmm. You know, some won't be touched.
But even if we do give our life, it is as though, hey, that is just fine.
Yeah.
In some kind of fundamental way.
Look, if you go by Stephen, you know.
Yeah, right.
But it hasn't always been that way, has it?
Oh, no. No.
And I'm not believing. I still got a ways to go.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying there will be, I'm not sure I'm ready for persecution yet. You know.
Yeah.
We will be.
Bring it on the right way.
Yeah,
we will be.
Be careful what you ask for.
You know, we will be. Whatever God says that He's going to do in us, if we do what He wants us to do, will happen. We will be.
I think it's fair to say a true follower, God will protect.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if your faith and your heart are right.
Yeah.
God will meet that need.
But no,
just
even
like anything else.
But even protect. But even if we have to give our lives, it's not going to feel. It won't be.
No, you're going to be in glory. You're going to
exactly.
be, you know.
And right now, it's odd. It's hard to imagine, really. But I don't see it as an impossibility that I have to lay down my life.
Right.
You know, I know it's very possible, and I know that if at the right point, any of us would be there in glory. But again,
I meant you'll be in glory on the way,
right,
to go to glory.
I'm not saying that let's do it right now. It would make no sense.
Right.
First of all.
Well, and as much as I enjoy our meetings, I'm not going to look back if God calls.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, you know, what's the favorite line about? Well, I think we've been talking with our wives, and you made the comment to your wife once, honey, I love you, but if I'm in heaven, I'm not even going to remember who
right.
you are. It's not going to matter.
I'm not going to miss you.
I'm not really going to miss you.
Yeah.
And it's, for a moment there, that's a, and then you go.
Yeah.
And that's, and you know, I've had that same kind of conversation. My understanding of heaven is right. Mm-hmm. I won't have the capacity for anything else mm-hmm. but to feel and to know God's
right.
ever-expanding, eternally mm-hmm. moving love for me.
Yeah,
and right. it's going to totally fill every part of me, that there's nothing mm-hmm. left to worry about or wonder, you know. That's why some of these comments about, you know, you'll see so-and-so or whatever. I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Yet, in a way, it's hard to say that God wouldn't allow that to happen. But I, you know.
You know, if I had to put that in words, to explain it, or not really. Doesn't it say that we're going to have a new name?
Well, I think so. It'll be on a rock, White Rock, I think. We'll have a new name.
I'm going to have a new name.
New spiritual, incorruptible body,
yeah.
isn't it?
you think?
But either way, you know, on Earth right now, we are one. We are all one. So let's say, you know, right now in this living room, we are one in God. So when on our next life, we are still the same one. So even though I might not, hey, Corky, you know what I mean? It's still, we are still the same one. It's the same thing, you know.
Well, I think we'll know each other, looks like just not in the sense of man, wife,
right,
friend, whatever. Right. But we'll know each other because we're in God.
Right, yeah. In you God, know. Because we're in God.
Revelation 2:17, Charlie.
2:17.
I think.
What does it say?
I have a pointer. It said 2:17. But I looked, I could see he was in Revelations. Yeah.
We'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. Mm. No. So that's to the church at, let's see here. Where is this church? That's the church of Pergamos. We're going to give a white rock. It's going to have our name on it.
Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive recall there, Brother Charlie.
Oh, well, it's sort of stuck in my head. Oh, white rock. Name on it, huh?
The Bible says that the eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them to love him. For how long?
Yeah, it's...
Is that forever like that?
I love scripture like that. It's just like all encompassing and boundless.
That's right.
And it's like
by the mercy of God, Joanne and I developed a relationship that is coveted, covetable, if that's a word. But it was a phenomenal relationship. And, so I still, a lot of times, I think about that relationship. And I thought, you know, there's no husband and wife in heaven. But there is something. I got to know Joanne's soul. And that's what's happening to us right now. We're getting to know each other's souls. And I think that, you know, the only thing that's left there is our soul. We're going to know each other somehow, by whatever it does. God said that his soul is not... So God has made us somehow in his image, even in the soul realm. We're not as the same kind of soul, but, you know what I mean? But we're soul. And that's what we are. That's what we're listening to. That's what we're hearing tonight. It's not the flesh that's not talking. The soul is using the flesh to talk. And so whatever we are is going to eternally be alive somewhere. Mm-hmm. The souls are also going to also go to hell. But I'm looking forward to a soul relationship with a lot of people that we've known.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll know them in a fuller, bigger way.
A lot better than we do now.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, with so much interference now.
You'll know them for all their heart and their goodness.
Yeah, that's right.
That you may not experience
perfect
here.
Communion or whatever, you know. Yeah.
But I think we're going to know them. Uh-huh. I don't think we're going to be up there and we don't know anybody.
No.
Unless we have other things to do. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think some of them will be those that we know, that we knew here.
Well, tell me this, because you're going to be in heaven, in God's perfect kingdom, are you going to have the capacity to know every other soul that ever was?
You know what?
It's a possibility. You wouldn't
believe it, but that was a thought that was on my mind today. It was like, are we going to have the capacity to know everybody?
Yeah. Like Jesus knows?
Says we're going to be lucky, right?
Or unless we're not.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be, I mean, would that be a glorious thing?
Yeah, that will be.
Okay, holy. You know, and everything, right?
No, if heaven is as amazing as they say, why not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, there's
infinite capacity.
Right.
There should be no limitations on what God can do.
Right.
Right.
And so you say, well, can you do? All things are possible through God.
That's right.
And so you go, well, I'm not going to, you know, not going to say no.
I mean, just think, you can know Elijah, you can know Paul, you can know Peter. Wouldn't that be glorious?
Yeah.
Every other saint before you,
and
after you.
Yeah. Unless we have better things to do. Which is possible.
Well, if that happens, I'm definitely going to try and look up that Enoch dude. I really want to know. I want to know what that brother had. He had it going on.
What was his secret, huh?
Well, he's in Hebrews 6, too. Just, you know, by faith, God transfigured Enoch so he didn't know death. And I'm like, okay, even Jesus didn't skip that, you know.
I don't know. I mean, this is not a doctrinal issue, but I somehow, from what I can see in the book of Philadelphia, not the book of Revelation, I think that God is going to, at the end of time, and from what my dream that I had, whether I can go by that or not, I can't. I think that God is going to catch away our people right at the end that are going to miss a lot of the tribulation. Because they have kept by the word of my patience, I will keep you from this hour that's coming to try the whole world.
Yeah.
It certainly conveys that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
And it's certainly his prerogative.
Well, he can.
Yeah.
That's right. Certainly.
If he has the people, he's going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. If he has that people, he may protect them just like he did Enoch. But don't count on it.
No.
Yeah. No, didn't, well, wasn't it Elijah too that got carried up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know, in a sense, I mean, it's almost greater if you die and then you're resurrected and taken up. Well, I mean, who knows? I mean,
I don't know if I'm in a position to really say which is better.
Yeah, right.
Well, I will say that going up is all I really care about. Yeah.
I mean, because Jesus died.
I think both are very good in their own way.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I'm not trying to belittle the point behind what you're saying.
So, would somebody, would one of you guys explain this, what's going on here to the anybody listening? Whoever is listening, don't draw any doctrinal conclusions.
But ponder in your heart things that are of God.
But we're just wondering.
No. Yes, some of these are wonderings, yes.
Besides the scriptural edifying that we get here, this brotherly thing that we have going on. And it's not, you know, we don't have, I mean, for those in the listening, there's only one Bible open here. You know what I mean? It's not formal. It's not by the book. You know, we don't have a guide. So even though we don't have a formula, it's very edifying to the spirit what happens in this meeting. You know what I mean? Because it's good, you know, and that's the only part, because, you know, what he said about, you know, explain it, but it's all good in the Lord. It's very good. It's very good.
I don't think we're off
filter
here.
No.
We just don't know either.
You know, it's always comforting to me that every guy is at home hearing the word of God by himself, and yet we're coming together and speaking pretty much as one.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't go, hey, we gotta agree on this if we're gonna present this.
Right.
You know, we don't It's not like, oh, yeah, that's because you're all just trying to be what Keith wants or what, whatever the elder. No, it ain't.
That's right.
We're just coming and sharing what God's been giving us, and it's amazing how we're all on one.
The Word of God is creating one mind in us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God has created it in us.
But you have the mind of Christ.
Yeah,
the mind of Christ.
Yeah, there we go.
Yee-hoo! Come before Him with an open heart, seeking.
We love you.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Amen.